In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
I was in seminary, I saw a video of the blessed Metropolitan Anthony Bloom, and of blessed memory. And one of the things he said stuck out and really struck me. He said that all idols require a sacrifice. And to elaborate that a little further, we could say, when we think of idols, we think of Old Testament idolatry, golden statues. But an idol is really anything that we put above God and that we serve above God. And idols, the word idol and idolatry, ideology, are tied together. Because many of our idols are actually ideologies. Now today we celebrate the new martyrs and confessors of Russia. And we remember that in the Russian Revolution, how millions of Orthodox Christians were killed by the revolutionaries who were motivated by their ideals, their ideologies, and ultimately these things drove them to kill and murder massive amount of people altogether. And this was in the last century. Beyond that, we could additionally add and think about the Holocaust, whereby the Germans, motivated by their idea of science and by their ideology of purity and this idea that we could have some sort of utopia or master race, were again motivated to sacrifice millions of Jews and gypsies and other people whom they wanted to eliminate. These sort of mass holocausts, these mass deaths done by ordinary people who were simply given over to something they really believed in. And they always believed that what they were doing was for the good. Now, there are those who stood out, who fought against it, who realized that it was wrong. But the reason why the revolution was successful and the reason why the Nazi regime was successful was ultimately because the everyday average person somewhere had bought into the ideas and the ideology that was presented. Somehow had bought into the idea that the sacrifice was worth it to obtain the goal, whatever that goal may be. And this creates a great burden, because on our generation, we can't say we're any different than this. Our generation has its ideologies and its idols itself. In particular, if we were to talk about our country, one of our ideas is that every generation should have it better than the last generation. The economy is supposed to endlessly grow. There's never a time when we shouldn't see below 5% growth. We also have various ideas about comfort, about food, about our status in the world. And on some level, every country does. And on some level, there's nothing wrong with this. But remember, the definition in the beginning was about whether or not God was first, or whether the idea overcomes our godliness. In our culture, we have something slightly different. We have a hidden Holocaust. I read a priest's comment the other day. Today also happens to be Sanctity of Life Sunday. I read a priest the other day. He said, I mourn for the 400,000 people who have died of COVID. I also mourn for the 2 million people who died last year. I also mourn for the millions of people who didn't make it out of their mother's wombs, who are killed silently. You see, in our day and age, we look back and we can see the errors of killing all the Christians that happened in Russia. We can see the evils of Hitler. I mean, every single politician we don't like gets labeled a Nazi or Hitler somehow. And so we know this is bad. But what's unique about our time, or maybe it's not, is that we've taken these sort of exterminations and we've not only scientized them, but we've dressed them up in a way to make them palatable, and mostly we buried them as a private issue. We say, who are you to judge me? Who are you to condemn this action? And then we bring forth all sorts of examples, special examples, extreme examples. How dare you take away this right when the mother may die? Shouldn't she have the right to choose? How dare you take away the right of this poor mother who is now going to have to raise an infant? She should be able to choose whether she wants to do that or not. How dare you take away the right of this family or this woman whose child is going to be MR, mentally retarded? How dare you? What a burden on their family. They shouldn't have to deal with that. So go ahead. You have a right in our country to go out and selectively abort your children. Electively, just on a whim. And it's all underneath the surface. And it lives, and it is the sacrifice. I would say in some ways it is the sacrament of our society. When we talk about the holy sacraments, we talk about bringing our offerings and our gifts, offering up to God and asking Him to transform us. And our society, which is largely worldly and could be said to be satanic on some level, where we obsess about comfort and we obsess about these other special cases and reasonings, it is so easy to make this offering because it's an offering towards convenience. It's an offering towards prosperity, towards equality, and whatever vocabulary that comes out of the politicians' mouths or that we find residing in our own hearts. So as we see with the martyrs in Russia who died for their faith, who died because there was an ideology coming against them that ultimately wanted to transform the country, as we see with the Jews and the various people who were killed by the Nazis, it was always a group effort. And so as Orthodox Christians, as people in this society, we are called to know that the Orthodox Church condemns abortion. We are called to not only know, but to practice, to do the things that would somehow change the policies in our land. Certainly, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but one of the things I've heard over and over is to think about, when I'm voting for somebody, what the ultimate ramifications of my vote are. So consider that. Dive deep into that. I would find it, for myself personally, I find it hard to enable or to vote for anybody who would support abortion. Secondarily, however, I would say the other side, whatever the other side might be, isn't much better. They'll pass bills right away to support it anyways. So I understand that this is a dynamic equation when it comes to voting. More than this, more than voting, we need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying that this sin, that this sacrifice would be ended. Our metropolitan wrote a beautiful letter or gave a talk at Zoe for Life, which is a pan-Orthodox ministry that supports mothers, it supports helping basically impoverished mothers who might choose to get an abortion to somehow survive, to clothe their children, and to somehow make it in this world. But he said that one of the most important things we can do is fervently pray. To actually believe that prayer makes a difference. And to be on our knees about this, asking for our forgiveness, repenting, and asking for a transformation in society. Again, another thing we can do is the works. Certainly the marches that we have done, where people go out and show that this idea of being pro-life, this idea that infancy starts in the womb, that life starts in the womb, is actually a belief that's believed by a lot of people. That we are not simply a tiny minority in the world. To encourage our children, to encourage the people around us to know that we're there. Finally, there's all sorts of works, charitable works, to alleviate poverty, to help people who have children with disabilities, to do the works that Christians have always been known for, so that this isn't presented as an only option. So we realize that in our country, we are part of a system, that we are part of a community. We may not be able to change the policies in a top-down manner, but we need to be aware of our part in the sin of our country. And so part of us needs to repent of how much we need to obsess about comfort. Part of us needs to take away those reasons too. All the selfish and greedy reasons that people do the sorts of things that they do. Certainly we need to repent of our rampant sexuality within our country. This idea that somehow sex isn't tied to procreation. These are so prevalent, they're like the water we swim in, and there needs to be some way to turn it. So as we commemorate today these new martyrs, and as we have talked about their death and their ultimate witness towards us in their martyrdom, may our God strengthen us to be witnesses in our day. You see, you realize also that we may be becoming an unpopular opinion in our culture. Many people have talked about how the time has come and is already here in some sense. Not only that we might be censured, but it isn't hard to see the possibility of persecution. Persecution for our views on sexuality. Persecution for our views on abortion. Persecution for the fact that we hearken back to a more moralistic or more conservative time. And we have to be willing to be witnesses. We have to be willing to, first of all, believe it ourselves, and most importantly, to live it. And then finally, to be able to stand up and speak it. To be able to be who we are, which is ultimately what got the martyrs killed, even in the face of persecution. And that's what today's gospel for the holy martyrs was about, is how all these things, righteousness, fighting for the truth, being a loving Christian who wants to transform society, are ultimately things that will get us persecuted and guaranteed to. And so we need to encourage one another to take these stances, to believe the beliefs, to practice the faith, and ultimately, most importantly, to repent of our own ideological underpinnings and to place all our trust in Christ and in God. This is what the new martyrs did. This is what we're called to. May God bless us, even in the midst of our possible persecution, to hold tight to the Christian faith and to give testimony that all life is valuable, and that ultimately God and Christ and the Holy Trinity are to be worshipped and glorified in all things. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is.